It is good to see everyone on this November 12, 2023. We are wrapping up a series we began 4 weeks ago following the brutal attack of Hamas on innocent Israelis on October 7th and began tying biblical prophecy to some of these events that may be the birth pangs, convulsions, as Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 24. I want to thank everyone for their encouragement, those that listen on the website and those that are here during this this time. It's been a burdensome series. You want to get it right and you want to share it, but I know that it doesn't depend on me. It's all about God, so I'm going to give it over to Him again in a moment. But we started out in Psalm 83, and we looked at the nations that were involved in the attack on Israel in that psalm. And it kind of tied into what is going on in Gaza today. And then I spoke about Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is another battle with Israel, where Russia gets involved, Turkey is involved, the nations of Africa get drawn in. And I tell you what's going on now could escalate as we hear rumblings from Russia and Syria and Iran, which is ancient day Persia. And we look at that verse that spoke about those that dwell carelessly in the isles and fire coming from heaven. And we tied in the instantaneous rapture, the possibility that the rapture could occur during that war, because the weapons were to burn for 7 years there in Israel. And the only 7-year time frame we have is the 7 years of tribulation. Then last week we looked at the message entitled Sides of the North in Psalm 48, where it shows the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ will be in Jerusalem, the north wall, emblematic or symbolic of where the Temple Mount is, and the rebuilt millennial temple will be. And then we went to Isaiah 14, where Satan said he's going to rule from the sides of the north. And that's true. As Antichrist, 3.5 years, according to Daniel's prophecy, at the midpoint of the 7 years of tribulation, the final 3.5 years, he will make himself as God. We're going to read it again. And he will rule for 3.5 years. And I've been teaching antithesis. Everything of God, and then you have the things of Satan. You know, darkness and light. Righteousness and sin. And, all these things. Notice that 3.5 years is the same amount of time Jesus had a public ministry here on earth. And you get that out of the Gospels when you add up the feasts and so that are recorded in the Gospels and try to put them chronologically. And so we see all these antithesis points that are brought out. And we saw that when Satan said he wants to rule in heaven, he wants to rule on earth, there's this totality mindset in Satan. He wants to destroy everything that is of God. You're going to see that in a moment, everything that opposes God. And so we have seen that they want to kill the Jew first and then the Christian. And they were chanting this week, the Saturday worshipers, then the Sunday worshipers. They were chanting in New York City from the river to the sea about Israel. And then they were saying from shining sea to shining sea, which is America. So don't think that this thing just stops. And this is being chanted in America. That's treason. Why does nobody say that's treason? These people should be arrested. They should be in prison. They're threatening the existence of our nation. In our nation. And so when we look at the absurdity of evil and what's being overlooked. And so anyway, when you look chronologically at the prophetic biblical history, and I'm not going back, I'm saying future history. In the eyes of God, it's already accomplished. The next great event is going to be the rapture of the church. And I'll show you that in the scripture here in a moment. And so all these rumblings that are going on, understand all prophetic history centers around the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, and then spreads out worldwide. And so the next great event is going to be the rapture of the church, followed by 7 years of tribulation, in which the Antichrist eventually rules during that time. The end of the 7 years is another battle, Armageddon, where Christ comes back and defeats all the armies that have gathered against Israel and Jerusalem. And that ushers in a millennial reign when Jesus sits on the sides of the north for 1,000 years. Satan then will be loosed again out of the pit to deceive the nations for a time. And one final battle that we don't get a ton of details on, he's cast forever into the lake of fire. The great white throne judgment then occurs of all the lost souls of all history. They too are cast into the lake of fire bodily. But following that, eternity is ushered in New Jerusalem. So I just want you to keep in mind the rapture, 7 years tribulation, 1,000 year millennial reign, and then eternity with New Jerusalem. So I want to show you a phrase today. None of this can take place until he who is restrained, he who does the restraining is taken away or out of the earth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him. When he comes, we're going to be gathered together unto him. There are phases here. This is when we meet him in there. That ye be not soon troubled or shaken in mind by our previous letter, 1 Thessalonians, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And I believe we are in a pretty 100-year falling away. And this means to fall away from the things of God, in my opinion. And our culture has fallen away from the things of God. Socially, politically, we have fallen away from the things of God. And I believe it began, you know, maybe 10, 20 years after the ascension of Christ, when there was a falling away doctrinally from the truth of God. And it is expanded into replacement theology that God's done with Israel. All of this, I think, comprises the falling away that we have seen. And then the man of sin will be revealed, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Everything that is of God, this Antichrist, fueled by the devil, opposes. The devil himself opposes. And anything that is worshipped that is of God, so that he who will make himself as God will sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem and show himself to the world that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know. I already told you when I was with you in the flesh, Paul, and now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains or lets will restrain until he's taken out of the way. Now you know the word let. If you've ever played tennis and your first serve or second serve hits the top of the net and goes over and falls into the square, it's a let serve. So get that picture. There is a fence or a net of restraining. It's not holding back all the evil, but it's holding back partially the evil that is going to be unleashed on this world. And I got to tell you who that is. And until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So let's go unto the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of sin. that I confess to you that the prophet, and I saw in the Psalms, calls filth. And I pray to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your spirit to share your truth today. Father, I pray that I will just be a servant washing the feet of these that listen. And I want to lift up and exalt your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. And Father, may your Spirit teach us and guide us into all truth. And you just take over. And Father, I just pray right now that you will speak to hearts and give us guidance. And Father, just let us know the things that we can understand. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, as I begin today, I have great faith and confidence in you and in the folks that listen to this website. A lot of people say, man, this stuff is just too deep. It's too far. It is not too deep. I want you to understand that is a lie from the devil. You are a child of God, and God wants you to know. Because the pulpit's weak, religion's weak, these family churches just have a good time. That doesn't give us an excuse. The bottom line is you are capable. The Holy Spirit's in your heart, and it's okay for you to be able to say with me or David Jeremiah or Adrian Rogers or any of the great preachers that have existed, we're waiting for the rapture of the church, and we know why we're waiting, and we know what the Scriptures say. And so that's my point today. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way or removed from the earth. Now, he who restrains, hinders, or holds back. That's what that word let is. It's kateko. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. It means to restrain, to hinder, or to hold back. And whoever this is going to do this until he is removed from the world. Now, I want to grab that phrase in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, and then I'll show you in 1 John, but stay where you are. The mystery of iniquity is the spirit of Antichrist. It is the spirit of Antichrist that opposes everything that is of God. Everything that is of God. Are you of God? You're being opposed by the Antichrist, by this spirit. And I want you to understand, people pretty much agree that this letter was written around 51, 52 AD. So this is only 20 years after Christ has ascended. So, you know, you think it's bad now. Well, it's always been like this. The devil hadn't taken a 2,000-year vacation. He's always been at work, bringing in Judaizers, bringing in those that deny Christ in the flesh, bringing in false doctrine, bringing in works plus grace. So he's always been at work. So this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now go with me. And he says he already is at work. Already at work. John said the same thing. Go to 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the scripture said this: beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. I want you to understand, everybody that preaches the Bible is not of God. You know, that stands with the Bible in front of them preaching is not of God. Every channel you turn to on DirecTV or whatever satellite you have, or streaming service, everybody standing there preaching is not of God. There are false doctrines galore. Now, some of them are. Some of them are very good. Everybody you look up on the internet, they're not all of God. You've got to have some knowledge, and you've got to be able to try the spirits. And he says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. They're false prophets. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want you to understand, John is addressing a specific false doctrine in this verse. He's saying this is an example of false teaching. And the teaching was, now this, they believe this was written 90 AD, around the same time of Revelation. This is 60 years after Christ ascended, after his resurrection. But there were those that taught Jesus never came in the flesh. And they say, these disciples are telling y'all they saw him in the flesh. He was really just an appearance. He would appear as though he was in the flesh, but he never was really in the flesh. He never took upon himself a body. You know, they just thought he did. Well, Brother Leo, how damaging is that? That's very damaging, because if Christ didn't take upon himself a body, the sacrifice on the cross didn't get you forgiveness of sin. Hebrew writer said he required a body, a Lamb of God, to be as a man, to be a man, to take upon the sins of a man on his body on that cross, so it would be a valid sacrifice. Huge, huge false doctrine. For religions to say they have replaced Israel, God is done with Israel. Huge, huge false. Oh, but they're such nice people. They are in error. And you've got to understand, Satan can appear as an angel of light. He could be the nicest person you've ever met in his appearance, but he wants to destroy you. Understand that. The cults are always going to be nice people. You know why? Because they're working their way to heaven. And rule number two, C, is be nice to all the dummies that aren't in our cult. Because they're the only church, right? They're the true church. So you're the dummy. You're not in it. But they get rewarded for being nice to you. Boy, Brother Leo, this is truth. All right? Understand that. This is truth. Now, Islam's a little bit different. They don't even have to be nice to you. Yeah. They don't have. They'll give you a chance to convert, but as I told you last week, convert, kill them, or enslave them. And guess what else is not required in Islam? You don't have to tell an infidel the truth. In the Quran, you can lie to an infidel. So when they say they want peace, they mean war. I didn't come up with that. That's in the Psalms. All right, now, look at what it says. Verse 3. Whereof, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. So the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. But go back to verse 2 and look at what it is. Hereby we know the spirit of God. So you've got two spirits in this passage. You've got the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. Going all the way back to when John is writing in 90 AD, when Paul is writing in 51 AD, and you've got this battle between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. Now go back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look at what it says in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists that are already in the world 2,000 years ago, whereby we know that we are entering into the last time or the last age, which is the age of the church, which is what we have entered into. Now look at verse, look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they left, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So you can tell who's of Antichrist by the fruit that they bear, the things that they say. But notice what he says in verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have the capability of knowing all things and of knowing all truth. And then in verse 27, the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. So what's the anointing? Well, what's He talking about? The Spirit of God. So I have the Spirit of God in me as a born-again believer in Christ. You have the Spirit of God in you as a born-again believer in Christ. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, abide in the Spirit, that when He, Christ, shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So He's saying, hey, you've got this anointing, this indwelling of the Spirit, and I want you to understand, you got to depend on Him, you got to live in Him, you got to grow in Him, you got to let the Spirit have more and more influence in your life, because the Lord is coming back, and He wants you to be faithful and find you faithful when He comes back. Now, go back to 1 John chapter 4, and I read to you verse 1 through 3. You see the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. But verse 4 is the key to the whole thing. He says, you are of God, little children. That's us. That's them, the believers back then. That's us. And have overcome them. That's the spirit of the world, those that are in the world. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He, the Holy Spirit that is in you, than he, the spirit of Antichrist, that is in the world. So, if the power of the Holy Spirit in you is greater than the spirit of Antichrist, and we multiply that by millions of believers that are on the face of the earth today, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then you understand that He who restrains, the one that is holding back evil from having this red tide of a tidal wave just overtake the earth, is the Holy Spirit living in the hearts and the lives of Christians. And when the Christians, in the split second of a moment, are taken out of the earth, the restraint will be removed and the spirit of Antichrist will have free reign to build up 3.5 years until He sits in the temple in Jerusalem and appears Himself or promotes Himself as God. So none of these events can happen or even begin to happen at that level until we are removed from the face of the earth. It's called a pre-tribulation rapture. And I believe in it 100%, and I'm going to show you why. Based on the scriptures. So the great, obtrusive, mighty, restraining power, the divine energy of the Spirit of God is what is holding back everything, everything from going over to the spirit of the Antichrist. So go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And go ahead and try to get it marked somehow, because we'll be dancing around that for the remainder of the time. And I want to show you another phrase. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the scripture says that the Antichrist opposes everything that is of God. The Antichrist opposes everything that is of God. And in verse 9, it says that when He comes, His coming will be after the working of Satan. Satan's going to work all this up for this Antichrist to be received as the Savior of the world in all this horrific time that will be going on during the 7 years of the tribulation. And so when He comes after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, Satan's going to empower Him to do miracles. And they're going to appear to be miracles to the populace that is still on the face of the earth. But verse 10, it will be with all deception of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved before the rapture, during the church age, when you could have got saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and all that will remain following that rapture might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I don't want to get into the alls today because I'm trying to teach on the rapture. But what I want you to understand is Satan is going to have all deception and all delusion, and these people are going to believe a lie. Now, what does it say? It says Satan opposes everything that is of God. And so you've got the spirit of Antichrist, which is a lying spirit. And then you've got the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. So go with me to John 16. Go with me to John 16. You're living in an age, and I believe this with all my heart. Your discernment, your spiritual discernment, needs to be fine-tuned to a level like never before. I believe that with all my heart. There is more deceit that is espoused publicly, you know, through television, through news, through the internet. You've got to know what is the spirit of truth and what is the spirit of lie, of deception. And you've got to be able to tell that. And God will equip you to be able to tell that. Look at what it says in John chapter 16. Verse 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit in you is the Spirit of truth. What is the antithesis of that? That's the spirit of deception. So the spirit of Antichrist is deception. The Spirit of God is truth. And so this battle is going on even today until we be taken out of the way. Go with me to 1 John again. Jump over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look what the scripture says. And then you're going to jump back into John again. But in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. It says you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and no lie is in the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. So you've got the Antichrist denying that Jesus was truly God and truly man. All these false doctrines that have been espoused and taught. But you have the Spirit of truth. So go back with me to John chapter 8 very quickly. John chapter 8. And you'll understand this point, and we'll close it out and we'll move on. But what I want you to understand, the Antichrist opposes everything that's of God. There is nothing more of God on the face of the earth than the Holy Spirit living in the life of a believer. The Antichrist opposes everything that is of God. There is nothing more of God on the face of the earth today than the Holy Spirit living in the heart of a believer. So you're going to be opposed by everything. You're the one holding it back. And until you get removed, we're going to see these convulsions, these wars, these rumors of wars that may escalate into the one battle that I believe will usher in the rapture. And it could occur this week. It could occur tonight. It could occur 40 years from now. I don't know. But I know that the groundwork is being laid out. John chapter 8, verse 43, Jesus says this, "To the religious leaders of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust or the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." Cain killed Abel. "And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. I want you to understand something, my friend. The devil attacks with lies. You hear people say Jesus Christ was a great prophet, but he was just a prophet. That's a lie. He was a prophet, he's also the Son of God. You hear people say Muhammad was a prophet and he's of Abraham just like you Christians are. That's a lie. Muhammad was not a prophet called by the true God, the living God of the Bible. You hear people say, oh yeah, grace opens the door, but then you got to do works. You know, you can't be saved by grace alone or by the work of Christ on the cross alone. You got to add works to it. That's a lie. Who do you think brought the lie into that religion? Satan. He is the father of lies. And if nobody else will say it, I'll say it. You're saved by faith and grace alone, based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross alone. Amen. Well, my grandmother, I'm sorry. Hopefully, God's mercy will save her in spite of what she was raised up in. I believe that also. I'm not saying all these people are going to hell. I didn't say that. But I'm not going to pat them on the fanny and say, oh, you're okay because you're believing a lie. I believe God can overcome whatever they were taught. I believe God can save them. I believe God looks at their hearts. I'm not saying that. But if the time is short, I'm not going to sit up here and patty cake the truth as opposed to the lie. Satan. So I want you to understand, you have got to be removed before this evil can have free reign on the face of the earth. So go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The spirit of truth is going to have to be taken out of the way. Now, he who restrains must be removed. I'm kind of glad I'm preaching Thanksgiving next week. We're going to count our blessings, name them one by one. I'm going to find a nice, comfortable psalm. I've been so burdened. I was leaving this morning. Patty goes, I'm just praying you get the joy of your salvation back. I said, Patty, she goes, you feel too much responsibility. And I probably do because I know it's not me, it's all God. And I need to be able to give it over all to God. But I drag it back on myself because I think we are living in the most relevant times ever biblically to see what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, you're seeing the manifestation of Satan in a way you have never seen the manifestation of Satan. We have got Jewish kids on college campuses that their lives are being threatened simply because they're Jewish. We had a Jewish man in California last week that was killed because he was Jewish. He was standing there holding an Israeli flag. A Palestinian walked over to him, took a bullhorn, hit him over the head, and killed him. Now, if you've not seen that on the news, I have. One channel reported it. One channel reported it. None of the locals, because they're owned by Soros money. Every one of them. So understand what you're dealing with and what you're seeing. You're seeing the manifestation of Satan. He's always been around, but boy, we're seeing him clearly. And they want to kill the Jew, they want to kill the Christian, they want to destroy Israel, and they want to destroy America. The one advantage Israel has over us as far as the land that they're in right now, those boundaries, they don't have the number of Israel-hating individuals armed in their country that we have America-hating individuals armed in this country. So don't think it's not going to happen here. It's not if, it is when. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them whose bodies are asleep in the grave. Paul said our spirit, when we're absent from the body, is with the Lord. Even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those bodies will God bring with him. So when the rapture occurs, if it happens right now, everyone in this room, everyone listening on this website that is born again and indwelt by the Spirit, we're going to leave this earth and meet him in the air. The bodies that have been buried previously of our loved ones, they're going to come out of the graves, unite with their spirits that are coming back with Jesus, and we're all going to have this microsecond reunion in the air, and then we're going to be taken into heaven. And I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. And that could happen right now, it could happen tomorrow. And I want you to understand that. I'm not saying that it is, just saying it could. It's the next great event. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which were alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Paul evidently preached a sermon about the rapture. And it was basically like 1 Corinthians. I'll take you there in a moment. And these people got upset because he said at any moment Christ's going to come back. We're all going to meet him in the air. And they said, well, what about, and our bodies will be changed and glorified. And they said, what about our loved ones that are in the graves? We're worried about them. What happens to them? And so now he's telling them, look, their bodies are going to come out too. You're not going to, just because you're going as you are, that's not going to prevent them going as they are. That's what that scripture means. For the Lord himself, now follow these themes, shall descend from heaven with a shout. You got a shout. The voice of an archangel, and a blast of a trumpet. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we shall ever be with the Lord. He who restrains at that moment is going to be taken out of the way. He's going to be taken out of the way. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this great event is going to happen. First Corinthians 15 verse 53. Look at this. 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Our bodies shall not all die, but we're all going to get changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, here we go again, the last trump, twinkling of an eye, instantaneous. Blink your eye. That's how quick it's going to be. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead bodies will come up, incorruptible, glorified. We shall all be changed. We're all going to put immortality on as our clothing. And death is going to be swallowed up in victory. There'll be no more death for the believers out of the church age when this occurs. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The shout, the trumpet. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the scripture says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Turn back in 1 Thessalonians 1 to verse 9. It says this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. You turned from idols to serve God and to wait for his Son from heaven. This is what we're to do. Those that have been saved, those that have turned to God, those that are living in the Spirit, we are to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm going to show you in Revelation, when the seals are opened in that book, the wrath of God is released on the earth. Well, guess where we will be? We're going to be in heaven. We've been saved by God's wrath. All the wrath against sin in my life was taken care of on the cross. And when I received Christ, I am saved from the wrath to come. Let's see, chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons you have no need that I write unto you, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. But and so we don't know when he's coming, but verse 9, I want you to understand. For God hath not appointed us to experience the wrath that is going to be poured out on this earth during the 7 years tribulation, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not talking about salvation saved at the cross. That's talking about being saved from going through the wrath. That word means just to be saved from something or delivered from something. At the cross, I'm delivered from death, hell, and judgment. At the rapture, I'm delivered from having to go through the wrath of God. And so this is going to happen. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a voice from heaven. There's going to be the sound of a trumpet. And in a nanosecond, we're all going to be changed and taken up. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I know I'm going fast. Wonderful thing about the internet. You can go back, pick this thing up. In Revelation chapter 4, in the first, in the second and third chapter, we see seven letters written to the seven churches. Laodicea represents the final church age. These were real churches, but they were also prophetic warnings and rewards and statements made to the churches of each age, like the first one, Ephesus, Revelation 2:1, that represents the church of the apostles. And Laodicea represents our present day church with Roman Catholicism, Protestants, and those things that exist today, where we think we're rich but we are poor, and the church does have more money than it's ever had on the face of the earth. But notice what happens in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And I think this is symbolic of the rapture. It occurs to John, but I think he represents all believers at this point. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. He's standing on the island of Patmos having this vision. Now this vision takes him to a door that's opened in heaven. And I heard a voice, as it were a trumpet. You got the voice, you got the trumpet, and it said, come up hither, and I will show you the things that are going to happen hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter you come up hither. These things are going to happen after you come up hither. And I, John, immediately, in the blink of an eye, I was up there at the throne in heaven. I think, Cameron, that represents us. Now, everything else is going to happen after the seven letters to the seven churches, the church ages, and then this door gets open in heaven, and here we go. And here we go. Now, we're in heaven. And in chapter 5, the Lamb stands up to open the seals, which are going to be the 7 years of tribulation and the wrath of God. But I want you to notice something. In verse 9, it says, they sung a new song. Who is they? At the throne in heaven. You are worthy, O Lamb, to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain on the cross, and you have redeemed us. So who are the us? We are the redeemed. We are the redeemed. How do we get redeemed to God? By the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross. And we are out of every kindred and every language and every nation. These are all the Christians that were saved during the church age. We have been raptured out. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests. And so we're singing unto God. We're praising God in heaven, but it says in the future, we shall reign on the earth. So we're in heaven, but we're going to come back to the earth. And we're going to serve God during the 1,000-year reign. And the reason David, Jeremiah, and others believe that during, you know, those 7 years, and then during the 1,000-year reign, it says they refused to believe the truth. During that 1,000-year reign, there's, you know, faith is not going to be faith like we understand. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Lee? It's not going to be like we understand it. Because faith is not sight. You're going to be asked during the 1,000-year reign, our people are, not us. We're back with our glorified bodies doing whatever God wants us to do. They're going to be able to see Jesus sitting on the throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Satan's going to be bound, but these people are going to be born. Generations are going to be born during that 1,000 years. There are physical people that are going to, not everybody's going to be killed at Armageddon at the end of those 7 years. There are going to be people scattered about. Those nations are going to have to follow a set of legalities. One of them, you're going to have to go every year and bow before Jesus in the Feast of the Tabernacles. So the allegiance unto God is going to be more of a legal system, but they're going to see Jesus sitting on that throne. Even then, Satan will be loosed for a little while, and still people will choose to believe the lies of Satan and follow him at the end of those 1,000 years. And I'm not telling you not to worry about all that, but what I want you to understand today concerns you. You're going to get raptured out of here. You're going to be witnesses to the 7 years from heaven. Look at what it says. Look at what he says. And they sung a new song. Verse 6. And I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. This scene is taking place in the throne room in heaven. And we are there. And in verse 12, they said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forevermore. And so the next great event we're looking forward to is the rapture. And that's why when these things break loose in Israel, it pierces my heart with mixed emotions. You know, I can see some of the battles in the Psalms, in Ezekiel. I can see some of these things. Is this the one? Are we here? Well, you say, Brother Leo, what are we to do? Go back to 2 Thessalonians, and I close with this. He who restrains is us, the Holy Spirit in us. Think how powerful that is. Because you got a lot of folks that have the Holy Spirit in their heart and they're saved and they're going to heaven. But they never say a word in defense of Jesus. They don't want to offend anybody. You know, when you think of how weak a lot of people are that are children of God, that Holy Spirit's powerful. Even when he's in the weakest vessel, he's still restrained. So what are we to do in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it says this, give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. How blessed we are to believe the truth. He gave us the faith to believe the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. This is the gospel you know of Jesus Christ. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold those doctrines, those true doctrines, which you have been taught, whether by word, Paul speaking, or by these letters we now have in the New Testament. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. He's always going to be with us. He's always going to give us grace, strength, and help. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So we're to grow in the faith, be established, but he wants our hearts comforted. I've had two or three people in 30 or 40 years have told me, I just don't believe in that. I said, well, why is that? He said, I don't want to be raptured out. I want to stay here and help the Jews. And I think that's a very nice sentiment. And that's a good thing to think. But God's going to have 144,000 Jewish folks he's going to seal and take care of. And that's a whole nother thing. And he's going to have people come to some kind of belief in him. But the bottom line for us, we're to fight our battle right now during the church age. Folks need to be saved now. We don't wait for the 7 years of tribulation to say, leave me behind so I can help out somebody. There's plenty of folks need help now. Need to see the truth now. Need to have some honest conversations now. But what began 4 weeks ago, we're going to wrap up today. And I might rake some leaves tomorrow and just decompress. I knew I have studied this over the years, but to put it together again that quickly has been a challenge. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. Ask yourself, say, Lord Jesus, comfort my heart. Strengthen me. Lord, lead me to somebody that may not know you as Lord and Savior. Father, maybe there's somebody you've picked out for me to share the truth of the gospel with. And Father, let me stand for truth. Let me stand for what your word says. Lord Jesus, we are living in the times that try men's souls. And Father, we are seeing right before our eyes the nation of Israel under the attack of satanic hatred. Your chosen. Father, I'm reading this book because 39 Jewish men were moved upon by God to write it. And one Gentile. I'm reading this book because you brought Jesus Christ into the world through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Messiah of Israel is Leo Dole's Savior. I am in this building saying we are part of the church because, Father, the foundation was laid at Pentecost. And for 8 years, there was no Gentile that entered into that assembly. But your martyrs fought that battle to lay the foundation for what we enjoy and assemble in today. So I pray your blessings on the nation of Israel, Lord Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to remind everybody again, we're going to take up an offering for Helping Hands next Sunday. We're also going to have our church-wide Thanksgiving dinner. Try to sign up. Just would like to get a count of how many are coming in case Patty and I decide to get something else just to bring in. She's doing chicken spaghetti and a large thing of that and different things, but we still may get some more stuff, so please just sign up. And I want to remind our church council that they're meeting right now as soon as we close out. That'll be Ken Burris, Jerry Bogus, Jared Bogus, Dave Hastings, and Brother Cleo. So, with heads bowed, I'm going to ask Brother Jared if you would close us out with a word of prayer.
Father, thank you for the word you provide. Thank you for the truth of it. Father, thank you for the future you promised for us. We just love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.
Oh, they don't have a list.